And I'll take this opportunity to introduce Hillary Craik. She is a, I'm sure most people who are here right now know her, but she was raised as Catholic in a family that also included a number of Protestants and agnostics. She attended an amazing convent school in Harare, Zimbabwe, which was then Salisbury, South Rhodesia, where her classmates included all kinds of Christians, Jews, members of the Greek Orthodox Church, and in the early 60s also included Muslims and Hindus. The local parish priests were Jesuits who acquainted Hillary with liberation theology and many other spiritual practices. Hillary left the Catholic fold in 1967 when she decided she no longer saw eye to eye with the Pope. She went unchurched for many years until she joined the Regina Fellowship in 1992. A few years ago, she also connected with the Regina Insight Meditation Community. Hillary has always been interested in the spiritual and will explore what that means in her presentation today. So welcome, Hillary.
Thank you, Julie. Thursday a week ago was a beautiful day. It was, to my mind, the first day of spring. Finally! So I did something special. I took out my bike and I went for my first ride of the year. I rode north from home and around Wascana Lake. I thoroughly enjoyed every moment of my ride. However, it was as I was riding along a street, not in the park, that something wonderful happened. I heard a sound that I love. It was the sound of a flock of geese flying overhead. Of course, this is a sound you never hear when you are driving, but you hear it when you are walking or cycling. I pulled over to the side of the road and stopped, and I looked up, and there in the blue sky, there were hundreds of geese, flying and honking as they flew. The shape of their flock was fluid, and it morphed and changed. I was transfixed. My heart leapt in wonder. I stood and I watched until I could no longer see or hear the flock. This was for me a spiritual experience. At that point, I was reminded of a very banal domestic activity that I also always enjoy. It also comes with the spring and sometimes includes flocks of geese. The activity is hanging the laundry outside. I love it because it connects me with the outside world and nature. With tongue in cheek, I wonder whether the fact that I'm raising my hands and my eyes to heaven has something to do with how I regard this activity. It's certainly more uplifting for me than taking out the garbage or sweeping the kitchen floor. Now, at this point, I'm going to ask you for some input, and I should have organized this ahead of time, so if we can have the a mic available, just...
They're using your mic.
So what do I do? Turn off mine? Oh, okay. And Julie, if you could be the mic carrier. I'd like you to share with us some of the activities or events that lift you out of yourself, that help you to feel connected to the large universe, that energize and inspire you. And you can tell us about a specific event or an experience that happened once or something that you do on a day-to-day basis or a seasonal activity. So I'm opening the floor to you.
Hi, I'm Ingrid, and I was just in Tasmania, went home to see family and friends, and I was on the East Coast, and the population's very low, so there was no light to pollution there. So at nighttime, I was staying in little B&B, no real town for probably 20 kilometers in any direction. And I haven't seen the stars like that for so long. And it was just spectacular. But it makes me feel, very tiny. I mean, the massiveness and the billions and billions and trillions of stars. But it was just a wonderful experience.
Awesome.
This, I think, was spirituality, but certainly it was to me a sign of spring. After the power transit, I saw a rabbit in a garden. The driver said to me, "I hope he wasn't white." And I said, "No, I think he was changing colour." But to see that rabbit in the garden doing his own thing, to me that was spirituality and a really sign of spring.
So Hillary, I'm a woodcutter, and we burn wood. We don't have to, I guess, but I love it. And this winter, I had to trudge into snow practically up to my hips to get it out of there. But it was great exercise, and I love it. But now, of course, I can't pass by without saying I've been on peace marches that give me the same feeling. So.
I like the analogy.
Does anybody remember Knife, playing Knife in a circle on the spring moist ground? I went to Liberty School for the first 8 years of schooling, and in the spring, the boys were always better at it. The first finger you went like this, the first one you went like this.
Put it up to your mouth.
Okay, then, and I remember there was one that went like that. You did the five fingers. And as long as you got them right, you could keep doing it.
I just wanted to say that one of the most spiritual experiences for me is looking at the stars. I know Ingrid said it first. But because I've been taking astronomy classes this last two semesters, I am having opportunities to look and to actually know more. And as I look, I see how beautiful they are. I feel how amazing it is that as small as we are, we can see and appreciate and understand what we're looking at to some extent. And I think that's really a spiritual experience. And knowing that we're looking back in time when we see that light.
I have spent a lot of my free time in my lifetime, not so much lately, hiking the mountains. I've hiked all of the mountains in Europe, and I've hiked the Rockies. And there's something very special in Lake Louise when you walk up towards the hut that's there.
The tea house.
Yeah. There's a bench very close there, and every time I've gone there, I go and sit on the bench for quite some time. And that is, for me, is a very, very spiritual experience.
That's spectacular.
Music is a big part of the spirituality of my life, and I used to dislike practicing scales until I incorporated a bit of spirituality there with the going up, going down, going up, and connecting to music is really powerful. And the most profound experience I've had with music was playing a song that I had written, and my four-year-old son coming up, and he'd heard it so many times, he just started singing along right with me and plopped himself down on the bench and sang one of the songs that came from my heart to me. It was wonderful.
I think we're all spiritually moved by nature. That's when I have my utter moments, I guess. And I can think of the human brain, which makes music, the human body, which makes dance, nature, any view that you get of nature that is spectacular, like out my window I get the full moon rising and I'm transported. So I'm happy to have these natural experiences.
Thank you very much for your contributions and a variety, but also a lot of commonality. So I think that we really are in agreement on what we mean by spirituality, and that it covers a huge range of experience, and for each one of it, it has a slightly different meaning. However, there are, I believe, some characteristics of what makes an experience spiritual as exposed to just fun or interesting or enjoyable. For me, spirituality is all about being inspired. It brings joy and connection. It regenerates. It revitalizes. It makes me whole. It brings my body and mind together. It brings me into the moment. It might be related to religious beliefs, but much of the time it's not. Each spiritual experience has a unique recipe, a unique set of ingredients, and that is indeed what makes it special. Now, I realize that I've identified some characteristics of the spiritual experience. However, we don't have a definition of spirituality, something that many Unitarians are going to want or not want. The bad news is that there is no single definition. The good news is that I think spirituality fits right in with our principles in that everyone can have their own definition. As I was preparing this talk, I spent some time perusing the book Spiritual Literacy, Reading the Sacred in Everyday Life by Frederick and Marianne Broussard, or Broussard, I don't know how they pronounce it. They also have a website, and it's a pretty hefty tome, as you can see. And it's not a sort of a read book, it's a sort of dip-in book. The text contains many quotes from writers, artists, ministers, and many others. It also contains an alphabet of spiritual literacy. Now, I would like to share with you some of the quotes I found in this book. I don't necessarily agree with all of them, but I think they're valuable sources for reflection. Protestant theologian Samuel H. Miller suggests that in the muddled mess of this world, in the confusion and boredom, we ought to be able to spot something, an event, a person, a memory, an act, a turning of the soul, a flash of bright wings, a surprise of sweet compassion, something we are to pick out, a glory to celebrate. Jungian therapist Jeremiah Abrams defines spirituality as a holy longing, a yearning to know the meaning of our lives, to have a connection with the transpersonal. Latin American liberation theologian Leonardo Boff called spirituality that attitude which puts life at the center and promotes life against all the mechanisms of death, desiccation, or stagnation. Psychotherapist Molly Brown writes, when we expand our awareness, strengthen our center, clarify our purpose, transform our inner demons, develop our will, and make conscious choices, we are moving toward deeper connection with our spiritual self. Marcia Sinitar, who has written extensively about self-actualization, notes that everyone is spiritual to one degree or another, although many people don't admit it. For one of the most interesting definitions, for me, one of the most interesting definitions comes from Brother Steindl Rast, a Benedictine monk, in his book, The Music of Silence, A Sacred Journey Through the Hours of the Day. And he's doing this in the context, I haven't read the book, but doing the context of the way that monks sing what's it called?
Divine office.
The Divine Office, thank you very much. It's a primer on how to incorporate the sacred meaning of monastic living into everyday life by following the natural rhythm of the hours of the day. The book tells us how mindfulness and prayer can reconnect us with the sources of joy. Here are his words. Sometimes people get the mistaken notion that spirituality is a separate department of life, the penthouse of our existence. But rightly understood, it's a vital awareness that pervades all realms of our being. Someone will say, I come alive when I listen to music. Or, I come to life when I garden. Or, I come to life when I play golf. Wherever we come alive, that is the area in which we are spiritual. And then we can say, I know at least how one is spiritual in that area. To be vital, awake, aware, in all areas of our lives is the task that is never accomplished and is always remains the goal. With that framework, I would like to share some stories about some events and situations that have been deeply spiritual to me. As I was making a list of events and situations that have truly uplifted and inspired me, I noted with interest that I remembered that several involved a combination of music and spending time with people who were dying or those who were grieving. Here are three separate stories. I thought about the celebration of life literally conducted by musician-singer Diane Craig, who invited her relatives and friends to participate in a musical event that she organized as she was confined to bed, lying on her back in the palliative care unit just a few days before she died. More than 50 people sang and wept in one of the most memorable and uplifting events I have ever had the privilege to be a part of. Diane lived, and living for her involved singing, until she died. And then she lived on in all our memories. Then I remembered the last hours of Margaret Pohl, a colleague of mine. As Margaret lay comatose, her 9-year-old son played his violin for her. Whether Margaret could hear or not, we will never know. But those of us who were present were very, very deeply moved. The next story is about a memorial event for a woman by the name of Joan Matthewman, who had dedicated her life to working with rural women in Zimbabwe. She had done all the necessary bureaucratic things to organize and get financing for various types of educational programs for women, rural women who had practically nothing. She died very suddenly of a heart attack. Following a formal and rather boring memorial service at the Anglican Cathedral in Harare, the women who had worked under Joan's directions gathered in the yard of the house where the organization had an office. The women, clad in traditional Zimbabwean dress, gathered in a circle on the grass. For a couple of hours, they sang, they danced, they told stories about Joan, they wept, and they laughed. This was one of the most moving events I have ever had the privilege of attending. The spirit was truly present there. And the spirit has been just as present at many musical events in which I have participated. I think of the sense of energy and connection that I have derived from the combined school choir events of my school years, when hundreds of choir singers would join their voices in a single concert. It was awe-inspiring. And I look at the seasonal rituals. As I look at seasonal rituals, I think of the number of times and the varied circumstances under which I've sung Handel's Messiah. I don't believe the Christian message, but I love the story, and even more, I love the magnificence and the familiarity of the music. And I treasure the fact that I have a score that belonged to and was used by my grandpa and two aunts. Talk about connection. I could spend the whole day telling stories about literal spiritual journeys, times I have hiked through and climbed into and through places which were special. Lake Louise, the highest mountain in Zimbabwe, the mountains of Alberta in British Columbia, the Chinoy Caves in Zimbabwe, the Badlands of Saskatchewan, the Trans-Canada Trail as it snakes its way through the Capel Valley. Now, we could spend a whole day sharing experiences and stories. But I would like to end by emphasizing that it's in the banal, the everyday, that we have the most to gain. In doing this presentation, I have been reminded of the fact that I need to be more intentional about ensuring that in my daily life, I need to engage with the spiritual and savor what is there. And I hope you'll do the same. I'm going to finish by reading the first part of a poem about spring by Gerard Manley Hopkins. And yes, he was a Christian, a Catholic, and a Jesuit. But the language of his poem is filled with spirituality. This poem is simply entitled Spring. Nothing is so beautiful as spring. When weeds in wheels shoot long and lovely and lush, thrushes' eggs look like low heavens, and thrush through the echoing timber does so rinse and ring the ear. It strikes like lightning to hear him sing. The glassy pear tree leaves and blooms, they brush the descending blue. The blue is all in a rush with richness. The racing lambs, too, have fair their fling. Thank you. That's mine.
Thank you, Hillary. That was beautiful. I really enjoy poetry. Okay, we will now, I'll now take the microphone to anyone who has any questions of Hillary about spirituality. Is this working properly? It is. Mm-hmm. It's just me that doesn't all the time.
Myra Specker, and I think I can relate to what you said about the spirituality, especially the music. I said the Christian music is, the music itself is enough to make you a Christian because it's so beautiful. And also the fact about looking at the mountains is lovely. But here on the prairie, I think sometimes we forget that we can stand and see the horizon on every side and the beautiful clouds and all the different formations of the clouds are really something that we probably don't relate to sometimes. But then sometimes when I look at the wild creatures, which we do see some, can we relate spirituality just to mankind, or do you think other species have spirituality?
I don't know that we'll ever know that, but I think that we can... I watch my cat sit in the window and looking out in the sort of... Even when there are not birds to look at, which there are sometimes, just watch her concentration and her sort of... being in the moment, truly, so that maybe in a sense they do have. I don't know. We'll never know that, Mara.
One of the things that I look forward to usually every year, I don't think I've missed one for a while, is going back to a lake where I've gone for many years, and where my wife's family has had a cottage for many years. And there are moments when it just seems like time stands still and like there is no time. The large features, there's an island, there's a headland, and you're lost in that sort of timelessness, and it really sort of gives you an appreciation for that timelessness, where we almost don't matter. You're part of the whole thing, you know. And it does give me something to think about when I go there every year. I look forward to it. And it's probably the most unique place that I've visit at any time.
I think it's what you're saying is important. And I think I was just thinking as Myra and Ingrid were talking about going to Cypress Hills and seeing the stars there, which are pretty spectacular. Sandra's also been there. And thinking also about the prairie sky and how beautiful it is. It's, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, that I am a savanna grassland girl. I like the openness. I don't actually feel very comfortable in the north, because there are just too many trees and I feel too sort of hemmed in. Even when there are lakes, which are nice, I still actually prefer the openness and feel better with the openness with the big skies as well.
I have to remember Jim Struthers and a lot of his presentations. And he, I think, kept warning us not to be superstitious, to the point that he didn't think that Santa Claus was a good idea, because it put kids' minds in the wrong direction, you know. Well, one of my friends early on, when I was leading a discussion in the basement on spirituality, I asked him, and he's an atheist, and I said, well, what's your definition? And he said, and I think what we've said today, we all agree that if it's grounded in nature and our awe of nature, that's not superstitious. And what he was saying, if you think your spirituality comes from yourself, then he is comfortable with that. But if you're looking to a greater power that inspires you to have the spirituality, he said, I don't believe with that. And it sort of reminds me of Bill Maher, who likes to make fun of religious people, I guess, in a way that probably he shouldn't. But he talks about prayer as a discussion with your imaginary friend, you know. And I guess everybody today, their spirituality is founded in nature, which I agree with.
The other thing we mentioned is music, and Hillary and I sing together with a few other people in the Philharmonic. And I regret, I guess, that I have never learned to read music, so I have to memorize everything in order, and I work very hard at it. But there's one thing that I love about the music, and that is that when I'm singing, that's all I'm doing. And to be completely in it is just a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Absolutely. And I think going back to the story I told about the memorial service or the memorial occasion in Zimbabwe, when they're singing and dancing, and it's spontaneous, and it's not, you're not reading from a script, that's somehow even more grounding and spontaneous, and is a wonderful thing which we've lost a little bit of in our culture, which I think is sad.
And we will take one more question, or two. We can take two.
I just want to riff on what Jim said and what Helen said. And it has, both comments had to do with timelessness or being out of time. There is no time. And that can happen when you're singing, or it can happen during any spiritual experience. Mine, that I like to use as an example, is being a downhill skier, as I was once, where you've got a vast panorama of snow and you're carving into it, and you've got to get down safely, and you are thinking of nothing else. So you're taken right out of time, and that to me is an aesthetic experience. Mm-hmm. So
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing. I think the other time that I feel there's that sense of timelessness, but also a sense of spirituality or upliftedness is when you're working together with a group of people and you're doing something, maybe it's volunteer work, really, or you're doing something to help move forward, you know, you're doing something helpful in community. And with that group of people, you know, there's this, this shared sort of sense of caring and creating community.
Thank you, Ingrid. I think that's a very valuable and very important point to make.